And so this morning, I want to share with you something from the book of Genesis. And it's taken from chapter 24. We're going to read the first 27 verses, but the story actually continues beyond that. So, Genesis 24, and we'll start at verse 1. Abraham was now old and well advanced in years, and the Lord had blessed him in every way. He said to the chief servant in his household, the one in charge of all that he had, "Put your hand under my thigh. I want you to swear by God, the God of heaven and the God of the earth, that you will not get a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I am living. But will go to my country and my own relatives and get a wife for my son Isaac." The servant asked him, "What if the woman is unwilling to come back with me to this land? Shall I then take your son back to the country you came from? Make sure that you do not take my son back there," Abraham said. "The Lord, the God of heaven, who brought me out of my father's household and my native land, and who spoke to me and promised me on oath, saying, 'To your offspring I will give this land,' he will send his angel before you so that you can get a wife for my son from there. If the woman is unwilling to come back with you, then you will be released from this oath of mine. Only do not take my son back there." So the servant put his hand under the thigh of his master Abraham and swore on oath to him concerning this matter. Then the servant took 10 of his master's camels and left, taking with him all kinds of good things from his master. He set out for Aram Naharim and made his way to the town of Nahor. He made the camels kneel down near the well outside the town. It was towards evening, the time the women came out to draw water. Then he prayed, "O Lord, God of my master Abraham, give me success today and show kindness to my master Abraham. See, I am standing beside this spring, and the daughters of the townspeople are coming out to draw water. May it be that when I say to a girl, 'Please let down your jar that I may have a drink,' and she says, 'Drink,' and I will water your camels too, let her be the one you have chosen for your servant Isaac. By this I will know that you have shown kindness to my master." Before he had finished praying, Rebekah came out with her jar on her shoulder. She was the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, who was the wife of Abraham's brother Nahor. The girl was very beautiful, a virgin. No man had ever lain with her. She went down to the spring, filled her jar, and came up again. The servant hurried to meet her and said, "Please give me a little water from your jar." "Drink, my lord," she said, and quickly lowered the jar to her hands and gave him a drink. After she had given him a drink, she said, "I'll draw water for your camels too until they have finished drinking." So she quickly emptied her jar into the trough, ran back to the well to draw more water, and drew enough for all his camels. Without saying a word, the man watched her closely to learn whether or not the Lord had made his journey successful. When the camels had finished drinking, the man took out a gold nose ring weighing a beaker, and 2 gold bracelets weighing 10 shekels. Then he asked, "Whose daughter are you? Please tell me, is there room in your father's house for us to spend the night?" She answered, "I am the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, born to Nahor." And she added, "We have plenty of straw and fodder, as well as room for you to spend the night." Then the man bowed down and worshipped the Lord, saying, Praise be to the Lord, the God of my master Abraham, who has not abandoned his kindness and faithfulness to my master. As for me, the Lord has led me on the journey to the house of my master's relatives. What a fantastic story, isn't it? You know, this is the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And this is the point where Abraham sends his servant to find a wife for Isaac. Of the three, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, there are so many pages that tell us about Abraham, so many pages in this Old Testament that tell us about Jacob, but there aren't that many pages that tell us about Isaac. You know, this is a wonderful story, and it's a great challenge, I believe, to each one of us as Christians, as people who know the Lord God. Abraham knew the Lord God. He'd failed him as well as been blessed by him. He lived for God all those years. He listened to the voice of God. He obeyed the voice of God. And as you and I listen to the voice of God, as we obey the voice of God, then we move in the Spirit and we move in God. And Abraham sends his servant out to find a wife for Isaac. You see, Abraham, as we read, is now very old, and Sarah had died, his wife. And he comes to his trusty servant, this servant, to ask him to take on this task of going back to Abraham's place of birth to find a wife for Isaac. He didn't want Isaac to marry someone from the local area, the local godless nations. He wanted him to marry someone from his homeland. He didn't want the purity of the elect race to be violated. He wanted it to carry on under the anointing of God. And he comes to this servant, this old servant who'd known Abraham all those years. He'd been with Abraham, he'd seen the good things, he'd seen the bad things, and he says, I want you to swear to me. I want you to swear to me that you will undertake this task. And the old servant, he's not named here, but most commentators would say that it's more than likely Eliezer, who was that one who had been alongside. If we were to turn back to chapter 15 and verse 2, we read about him. He said, Abraham, this is when Abraham was Abraham, before Abraham. Gets confusing, doesn't it? O sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless? And the one who will inherit my estate is Eliezer of Damascus. Now, I want you to think about this for a moment or two. This man, Eliezer, who'd been the chief servant of Abraham all those years. And if there was no continuation of Abraham's line through Isaac, then he would inherit all of Abraham's wealth. But, you know, he still takes on board this task to go and to find a wife for Isaac. And as Abraham talks to him, I believe sometimes we look at Scripture and we tend to look at people and kind of think of the negative side of what they're saying. Here in verse 5 we read that this man said to his master Abraham, What if the woman is unwilling to come back with me to this land? And I don't believe for one moment that the servant, we'll call him Eliezer, I don't believe it was a lack of faith. I believe he was using common sense. Thank God, God has given us common sense. We walk in faith, but God has also given us common sense to live out for him. And I don't believe that it was a lack of faith. There are many times when we might question God. When we might question the moving of God in our lives. I don't think that's wrong. I think it's good sometimes to come before God and say, well, God, why? He is our Father, isn't he? And a loving earthly father expects the children to come and sometimes say, why? And we say, you've got to do this or you've got to do that, or we want you to do this, we want you to do that. Why? And so this man comes and he says, what if? But Abraham reminds himself, as we read in verses 6 and 7, he reminds not only himself and his servant of God's promise. Isn't it wonderful to sit down and look at the promises of God? Think about what the promises of God that are in the Bible. You know, there are promises, there are thousands of them. And I used to say to the folks up in Ealing when I was a pastor there, I believe there are blessings in heaven with each of our names on those blessings, and we've never accepted them. We've never taken hold of them. If I had a big parcel here this morning and I was going to give it to you and I said it's yours, whose fault would it be if you never came and took it? Wouldn't be mine, would it? Because I brought the parcel. And you know, I believe there are so many blessings in heaven that have got our names on them, and yet we've failed so often to take hold of those promises, and God wants to give them to us. You know, the Bible says the promises are yes and amen. Yes, and so be it. And so Abraham turns to his trusty servant and he says, the Lord God, the God of heaven, who brought me out of my father's household and my native land, and who spoke to me and promised me on oath, saying, to your offspring I will give this land. He will send his angel before you so that you can get a wife for my son from there. And then he says to him, but if she is unwilling to come back, you will be released from the oath. And so the servant swears to Abraham and he says, I will carry out this matter and I will go and find a wife for Isaac. The servant took 10 of his master's camels and left, taking with him all kinds of good things from his master. He was going out on a very serious and a very delicate mission, something that would take quite a long time. We're not given any details of the journey. We're just told that he left, and then the next thing he arrives. But he was going on a very serious, a very delicate mission. He was going for his master. When he gets to Nahor, he comes to the well outside of the town. And it was towards evening. Just at the right time when all the young women were going to be coming out to the well to get the water. Seems strange that all the young women, it was never the men, was it? It was always the young women. Thank God for ladies in the ministry of God. Yes? Men, come on. Let's thank God for the ministry of ladies. You know, I appreciate so much the ministry that ladies do. You know, I get upset when you get certain denominations who put ladies on the one side and it's just the men that do it. Thank God for the ministry of our two sisters on in the music this morning. Amen. It was good for the ministry when we had an open time. There were so many ladies who just brought a thought. But it was a ministry. Weren't you blessed by those thoughts, that ministry? Huh? Oh, I thought you'd all gone to sleep. But here now we find that this man comes with the camels and he makes the camels to kneel down. At just the right time, at just the right place. Isn't it wonderful to be in the right place at the right time to be used by God? You know, we always need to be open to what God is saying, what God is doing. I don't know if you can remember the group, the Herman's Hermits. Well, one of the lead singers, John Gaunt, thank you. It's good to have a lady with me who knows what she's talking about. John Gaunt became a Christian because some other Christian was walking past his house and God told him to knock on the door. And John Gaunt was almost to commit suicide because he was so depressed. And the man knocked on the door and led him to Jesus. Now he's ministering in song and word, bringing other people to Jesus Christ. We need to be open. I'm not saying that every time you walk past the door, you've got to knock on it. You've got to be listening, opening to the voice of God. Because God has got something for each one of us. I don't care what you think your age is, your ability. God has got something for each one of us. You know, standing here this morning, it was wonderful to see those little kids dancing up and down. It was a blessing. And if you don't get that blessing, then friends, there's something wrong. We need to encourage the youngsters. We need to encourage everyone. It's good to see the families. It's good to see the youngsters. Bless you. God use you. God do something through you, through every one of us. I compared the Young at Heart Christmas thing we had in the Bewdley Street. I still call it the Bewdley Street. And I went to a committee meeting because I was going to compare it. And I thought they said that they were going to have a youth group from the Baptist Church. And I was so surprised when I got there and there was that lot and a few more. Youth group. I was reminding them before the service this morning and Roger said to me, he said, well, you know, we're as young as we are, as young as we feel. Good? And so there's, as we go forward in the ministry of Jesus Christ, age doesn't make any difference. Ability doesn't make any difference. IQ doesn't make any difference. We've got to be open to what God is saying, what God is doing. A few years ago, I met a guy. And when he first got converted, he couldn't read and he couldn't write. And he only knew one Bible verse. And that was, you must be born again. And he went around sharing this with people. And people were being born again because he shared that with them. But he couldn't read or write. That was his only ability to share that one verse. But it brought people to Jesus Christ. I mean, later on he did learn to read and write. But that was something that God used. A simple verse. Through that man's life that brought others to Jesus Christ. So the man gets there and he gets the camels to kneel down just at the right time in just the right place. And then he sits back and he surveys the scene. And he sees all the young women coming to the spring. He had a mission. And he had to think, well, which one? Which one is it going to be? What a dilemma. And then he puts the ball back in God's court, if we use a common up-to-date phrase. And he says to God, right, the young woman that comes and offers me a drink, then offers my camels a drink, is the one. Now, I'll tell you something. If somebody pulled up here with 10 camels right now, I wouldn't go out there. I'd send you lot out there to give them to drink. Because you know what? I was reading the other day, and a camel can drink 30 gallons in 10 minutes. And for goodness sake, there's 10 of them. When I went to school, 10 times 30, 300 gallons. And so what a prayer, isn't it? To me, that kind of prayer is almost like saying to ask God to give somebody a new leg or new eyes or something, even, you know, today. And he prayed that prayer and he said, God, the woman that comes, the young woman that comes and offers me a drink and offers to give my camels a drink, that'll be the one. What a prayer. Almost impossible. Would you like to give 10 camels 30 gallons? How many times did she have to go to the well and but she comes. And before he had finished praying this prayer, isn't it wonderful when God answers prayer before you finish praying it? Sometimes it takes a long time before God answers prayer, but we've got to be patient. But there are times when God answers prayer before you finish praying it. That happened to you? Because he can. And before he had finished praying this prayer, Rebecca appears on the scene. God's answer appears on the scene. The theme that I put on this morning, if you've got your, it says, just sitting, watching, or ... This man sat there and watched. Now, some of us can just sit there and watch. Watch the world go by, watch other people doing the work of God, just sitting there. But this man sat there and watched. Now, I don't know about you, but if I prayed a prayer, something like that, something that was so unbelievable, and God answered it, I'd be up, jumping up and down, waving my arms, shouting hallelujah, and praise the Lord, wouldn't you? Well, perhaps you don't do that in the Baptist church. But wouldn't you be so excited because God was doing and was answering your prayer, which seemed so impossible? But he sat and he watched. And he watched for the whole of the answer to unfold before his eyes. And he went to this young woman, Rebecca. And it says that she was very beautiful. Now, looking at this, I began to wonder, what was the beauty? In many ways, she had to be quite a strong young woman to carry the water. What was the beauty? Was it the beauty of her face? Was it the beauty of her demeanor? Was it the beauty of something that was inside her very life that shone out? You know, we don't have to be the most beautiful or the most handsome of people. It's the beauty that shines out through the glory of God in our lives. And this man, the Bible tells us that she was beautiful, and he saw that. And God was answering his prayer, because he went up to her and he asked that she might give him a drink. And then she said, "Yes, I will lower my jar to give you a drink, but I will also give your camels water as well." Wow. 30 gallons times 10. What an answer to prayer. When I was reading this, I was thinking, well, it says that she lowered the vessel in her hands. Did she put water in her hands like that and give him to drink? Was she literally offering herself so that there was something, not offering herself to him, but offering herself as the answer to his prayer? Humbly, she takes the water and she offers him to drink. And then she says, I will water your camels. Here's something so tremendous. And the man is not saying a word, he's just watching. He's waiting while the whole of this episode takes place. And then, as we read, he goes to her when the camels had finished drinking. He took out these gifts, giving them to her, asking her if there's room to stay. She said, "Yes, of course there's room to stay. And for the camels as well." And then she goes and she runs back home. And she goes to her brother Laban. And she tells him what's happened. And he hurries out to meet this man at the spring. And he says to him, "Come, you are blessed of the Lord." How did he know that? He'd never met him before. "Come, you who are blessed of the Lord. Why are you standing out here? I have prepared the house and a place for camels." He'd already done it. The man was still waiting there. They prepared a house. They prepared the place. Isn't it wonderful that as Christians we know that Jesus has gone to prepare a place for us? I've got a home in heaven, have you? About 4 years ago, we downsized. Tell you what, when I get to heaven, I'm going to upsize. Because Jesus is preparing a place for me. And only now, when the man is there, does he begin to worship God. Does he begin to openly declare. And he goes into the house, and before he even partakes of the meal, and I'll tell you what, he must have been pretty hungry because he'd had a long journey. And the sandwiches and whatnot would have been a bit stale by the time he got to where he was, because it was a long journey. And there was this big feast spread before him. But before he actually partakes of that feast, he opens his heart. And he says, "This is the reason why I'm here. This is the reason why I'm in this place. It is because I have come from my master. to take a wife for my master's son. Here is something so tremendous that he can't eat until he's told his story. He can't eat until he explains why. But if you've never read this story, read chapter 24 of Genesis when you get home. The wonder of it all, that here is God at work. As we read on through the chapter, the servant has told Laban and the family. And they said, well, let's call the girl and ask her. So they called Rebecca and asked her, will you go with this man? This is verse 58. I will go, she said. So they sent their sister Rebecca on her way along with her nurse and Abraham's servant and the men. And they blessed Rebecca and said to her, our sister, may you increase to thousands upon thousands. May your offspring possess the gates of their enemies. And she left with him. We need to be willing when God calls. Not just sitting, watching. Yes, there are times to be able to sit and watch your answer to your prayer unfolding before your very eyes. But let's not just sit. Let's be challenged today. Not just to sit and let somebody else do it, but let's just be challenged to sit and wait and then move with God in God's time. Be in the right place at the right time. Aren't you glad? As I look back over my experience before I became a Christian, aren't you glad there were people who were in the right place at the right time to share with you the good news of the gospel? In many different ways. Without even thinking about it, when I stop now and think about it, I say, thank you, Lord. I thank God, thinking back all those years to a man from the Salvation Army who used to come to the pub where we, a group of us used to run to and have a drink and then run back. We were supposed to be in training, but we still had a drink. But this old man, every Friday night that we were there, came in with the war cry. And we all bought one, even a Roman Catholic guy who was amongst us, which was something all those years ago. And we all bought a war cry, and we probably read it. But you know, something of that man, so faithful every Friday night, going all round the pubs of that village in Leicestershire, sharing the good news of the gospel. I thank God for that, and others. The man who preached on the afternoon, I gave my life to Jesus Christ, never knew, I never told him, but I sat there and I gave my life to Christ in a meeting. He's gone to glory. But God has blessed him because he used the word of God and it touched my heart. And I thank God, not boasting, but because God touched my heart, it's touched others' hearts. If he hadn't touched my heart, he wouldn't have touched Elizabeth's heart, and he wouldn't have touched others' hearts. Wouldn't have brought others to himself. Thank God, goodness me, thank God for your salvation. Thank God for those stepping stones, that I call them, for those people who are in the right place at the right time to touch your life. You might not have impossibles, things happening, like you've got 10 camels that you want watering. But let's face it, in each of our lives there are impossible things, but God can touch them. And God can minister to each of us, and through each of us. That's where the challenge lies this morning that I want to bring you. We don't just live on other people's blessings. The servant, Eliezer, had seen through Abraham, through the good, the bad, the thick and the thin. He'd seen God at work in Abraham's life. It had brought him too to a knowledge of God, and he was able to pray that prayer, that seemingly impossible prayer. And he saw God answer that prayer. When you get home, read chapter 24 of Genesis. Read it, if you've already read it many times, read it again. Realize the greatness of God. Realize the wonderfulness of God. You know, sometimes words fail me when I think of the glory of God. When I think of God, when I think of what he's done for me, when I think of you know, over my life. Isn't he wonderful? Isn't he? Well, don't just nod your head. Say yes. Say yes if you believe it. Say yes. You can. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word today. Help each one of us, Lord, to realize that we are important in your economy, in the economy of the kingdom. Whoever we are, whatever we feel we have or haven't got in abilities, intellect, or whatever. Help us to realize that we are important to you. Lord, as we think of the Gospels, as we think of the different people who we only read of once, and yet they were so important. We think of Ananias who went to Paul, or Saul of Tarsus as he was then. We don't read of him again. But Lord, you used him on a very important mission. And so we're looking to you in these days, in our town, in our area, in our nation. Will you use us, each one of us, to bring others to know you as Lord and Savior. Thank you, Father, for this wonderful opportunity. Thank you for the responsibility that we have also to share you with other people. Help us then, Lord. Help us to pray and believe for answers to our prayers. Because we pray it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our wonderful Savior. Amen.